People in mental health crisis need very specialized attention. Training to provide that kind of attention is often beyond the scope of all the other things police officers are trained to do. But in the vast majority of cases, when a 911 call seeks help with a mental patient, the police show up. So it was last month when a Eugene woman called 911 because her grown son was in mental health crisis. The police showed up, the situation escalated, the young man ended up tased, and his mother got arrested for interfering. The incident got additional attention because the woman arrested is the sister of the president of the Lane County chapter of the NAACP. We'll talk to Eric Richardson and his lawyer now. Later, we'll talk to the police chief and the crisis agency that often responds to such calls. Eric Richardson, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, and good morning.
It's good to have you here. Brian Michaels is with us as well. Brian, welcome to you.
Good morning on this Monday morning with red flags.
Yeah, lots of those around for sure. Eric, this is your sister and your nephew and an incident that had apparently been building through the day. Tell us about that day and when you first became aware of what was going on.
A very interesting and intriguing day for me because I'd actually just got off the plane from Philadelphia that day, about 3 p.m. I'd been attending the national convention of the NAACP. And in fact, had just heard President Obama speak on Tuesday about the criminal justice reform effort that he's undertaking. And so I returned the next day, 3 p.m. About 5 o'clock, I heard from my sister saying that she had just received calls from Quentin's or from my nephew's friends in Portland and that he was acting strangely. So she immediately went up to Portland and brought him down because he had been seen last year. And so we were trying to get him back to see his doctor. And so that's how the whole incident started. Basically, that evening, probably about 2:30 is when I received a call from my one of my other siblings that I needed to contact Aisha because she was having problems with Quentin and the incident went on from there.
Okay. Aisha's your sister then. In a perfect world, or at least a better one, what should have happened when Aisha called 911?
Well, it's Brian Michaels here for a second, not to answer that question, but there is a little misinformation there, which is sort of significant as the story moves on, is that she works in social services, Aisha does. She did not call 911. She called the non-emergency number to specifically get CAHOOTS.
Okay.
And there's a distinction on how the police respond to emergency calls and non-emergency calls. And I just wanted to clear that up from the beginning. I'll, of course, let Eric continue with his answer.
All right, so not a 911 call. It is a dispatch call, and there is a recording of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. All right, so when Aisha, your sister, did call for help, Eric, what should have happened, in your opinion?
Well, I believe that things were going fine, you know. It would have been great if CAHOOTS could have shown up and that professionals who deal with the mental health crises were on hand.
And I should point out to the folks who don't know Eugene, CAHOOTS is crisis assistance helping out on the streets, which often does respond to these. We'll be talking to them later in the program, but go ahead, Eric.
Right, and basically I'd also like you to know that at 2:30 when I did receive that call that I did go to my sister's house and that I am the sole witness of what occurred that night. I was there probably only 3 minutes after the officers, the first set of officers arrived, so I saw most of what happened that night. I believe that there should have been a lot more civility on the side of one of the officers, and I think there was an escalation of hostility that did not need to happen. When a citizen calls the police and are in crisis, I think that there needs to be true communication between that person and the forces that do arrive, and I don't believe that that happened that night.
All right, so in your mind, things were already getting mishandled by the time you showed up.
I believe so. From what I understand, there were two officers. When I showed up, not what I understand, what I saw, there were two officers, and I believe that one officer was a little more aggressive than he needed to be. And I believe that that really instigated the heightened tension that that occurred that night. We had one officer, I believe, was acting appropriately, who was interacting and but at the same time did not provide any control of the situation. I think there was a lack of communication between the officers themselves, and I believe that one of the officers was just a little too aggressive for a situation we were in.
We're talking about the July 16th incident involving the sister of Eric Richardson, who's our guest here, the Lane County NAACP president, and her son in mental health crisis and a confrontation with police. Brian Michaels, his attorney, is with us as well. The police report, Eric, talks about you being concerned with a display of a police baton. What's that about?
Yes, so I was at the scene trying to de-escalate the situation, and I believe that I had de-escalated the situation. Things had quieted down, and one of the officers at that point felt that he needed to bang his baton on the ground repeatedly, four or five times, not sure. That action really agitated the situation. I asked on the tape if you can review that tape if you have. I've asked the officer, what is he doing? What is this about? Why? And Quentin did the same thing. I think it was something that we perceived as being an intimidating action, and it was unnecessary, and it restarted the whole situation.
Eric, your nephew is described as a big guy, 6'2". Is he that big?
Well, he's almost 6'2". He's 215. Mm-hmm. He's a football player, basketball player. He's a 19-year-old kid.
Your sister, his mother, Aisha, describes this as a psychotic break on the dispatch call. I mean, has this happened before in the past?
He has not had a psychotic break like that. He suffered a major concussion in his senior year of high school, and during the last part of his senior year, he did have I don't call it a psychotic break, but yes, he had an episode where he was hospitalized and had to go through a regimen of medication, and actually he was better by the summer of last year and enrolled at Portland State and had a stellar year at Portland State, joined a fraternity. Had a job, and then this is just recurred out of the blue, July 15th, I believe.
And on that day, it sounds like he was fairly angry. Where was his anger directed? And let me get your own perception of this, because you were there.
Well, Brian Michael here, as I represent a sister and Mr. Richardson in some other capacities. His anger is a little overstated. I don't know if you've listened to the tapes. But the police arrived more than an hour after she called. And as you listen to their audio, because there is no body camera, so you can't visually see what happened, mm-hmm. Everything is very calm when the two police officers arrive, and she assures them that everything is calm, and she assures them that there's no need for police. She still wants to take her son to the Johnson Unit, which is a mental hospital here in Eugene, because she sees that he's having an episode, but the police are there for several minutes before things begin to become agitated. And I think that's an important factor in what's going on here, in that his mental illness or his mental episode no longer was a factor or a trigger in anything that happened that night. It had subsided. All that was requested and required was a simple transportation to the Johnson Unit. That this exploded into this violent incident, it is a mistake to relate it to his mental state.
Could the police, in the opinion of either of you, Brian or Eric, could the police have provided that transport?
I think the police could have if they wanted to be helpful. But, you know, ultimately they did take him to the Johnson Unit, but the state he was in, the state that this 19-year-old was in before the police arrived, and a calm transportation would have happened, compared to the state he was in after witnessing his mother getting beaten to the ground and him being tased twice, put him in an enhanced state when he was received by the Johnson Unit. And in our opinion, caused him to be placed in isolation and strapped down for a period of time, which probably would not have happened had he been calmly transported to the Johnson Unit at the time that police arrived in the accident. accepted a calm situation, because never was there a crime scene until the police created the crime of interference. There was no crime being committed, and there was no crime for them to respond to.
We're talking about the July 16th incident in Eugene here on the Jefferson Exchange, on which a woman was trying to protect her son from getting tased by police. He had a mental health episode. She got between them. She ended up arrested, although not charged. He ended up, as you heard, in the mental health unit. Eric Richardson is her brother and the Lane County NAACP president, one of our guests. You just heard from Brian Michaels, his attorney here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm trying to figure out if the presence of police alone, just the sight of police, might have escalated just a bit, Eric.
I would have to say yes. It's an unfortunate truth that we are living in a situation this year, especially that black lives have been impacted by police shootings, and at an all-time, at a high rate. I have kids myself, and they see what's going on. And in fact, when I was growing up, I didn't witness this many police killings of black folks that I've seen in the last couple of years. And so, of course, when any African American is going to have an interaction with the police, believe me, this is on their mind. We do not live in a vacuum. And so when I heard that the police had arrived, because my sister called me when I was en route and said, hurry up, the police are here, I was a little fearful of what might happen, not only because it was the police, but because I knew that we had a mental issue going on and that they may not respond appropriately. Now, this is in the aftermath of Ryan Bapp, who was going through a mental issue as a veteran and was killed. And so these things are on everyone's minds. If you're paying attention to what's going on in our society, you are going to be aware of that. Now, I identified myself as very interesting with my hands raised as the president of the NAACP, as the uncle, and I was what I got back was yelling at the top of their lungs for me to stay back. There was no interaction. There was no communication to try to bring the situation down. And in fact, I just recently got to visit Quentin, and he told me that he was very perplexed as to why the officers weren't taking him away to the Johnson unit, because he knew that's why they were there. He was not only out, being affected by his condition, but he was also aware that he had a problem. And so now that he's coming down and feeling a little better, he said he was wondering the whole time and he asked, if you look at the tape, why aren't we doing anything? Why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't, what's going on? Because and I saw that as a lack of communication, a lack of leadership with these officers as to what they were doing. And it seemed like no one knew what to do except to escalate the situation.
Do you think in any circumstances it would have been possible for them to just say, okay, we're here to take you to the Johnson unit, we're ready, let's go? I mean, could it have been that simple, do you
yes,
think?
Yes, I never heard one time an officer ask my sister, ma'am, what can we do for you? Can we take your son to the hospital? I never heard that. What I heard was screaming at her to get away from her son when she is asking for help. And all in her mind, they are threatening her son with bodily harm. And it happened really quickly, and in a lot of and in one case, the officers asked to turn off the porch light, and to Quentin, he wondered why. He would like to see what's going on. It agitated him, and there were several things that agitated him. I believe that there was no true leadership on the side of the police to get this solved in a peaceful way. Now,
and if you listen to the audio when the police first arrived and the level of conversation being soft and like we're speaking here today, there was more than ample opportunity to effect a soft and peaceful transport. That would have been the desire of Quentin's mother and Clinton. I mean, that there was more than enough time during that peaceful conversation to affect that transport. Any listening to that audio in the first 5 minutes can only yield that conversation. But somehow this thing got into what it became, and it's really unclear why, other than one speculation on things that one can only speculate, but it clearly was not the fault of either the mother or the son. If you read the police reports, you read that the same officer that arrested and beat down Aisha said in his police report that he was going to arrest Eric Richardson had he another officer to do so. Now, Mr. Richardson sat and watched his sister get beaten up and his nephew get tased and yet maintained his composure, and I apologize for the train.
It's okay. Not in your control. Oh, it is right there.
Yeah, welcome to my world. But, you know, for someone to be able to maintain watching their relatives get beaten and tased is really a remarkable set of character that I think very few of us could say with certainty that we would have been able to stay still and watch that happen rather than do the dumb thing and jump in and try to help.
Eric, you mentioned that that your nephew is doing better now. How is your sister Aisha doing?
Well, she's having a hard time as well. She had to take off some work. She has two younger children who she's trying to give time to them because they are very upset about what happened. They were upset just that their brother was having this relapse, and then for this to happen on top of that is very scary and traumatic for them. And so. But she's doing okay, but she's at home. We're trying to help her out as best we can.
Now, what are your thoughts on the police department's announcement of refining the approach to mental health cases? This was announced on Friday. And, of course, you know, there's lots of, you mentioned the Brian Babb case. There's an administrative review board convening today to look at that incident. I mean, do you think that the police department is making some moves to affect change here that is worthwhile?
Yeah, we're encouraged that Police Chief Kearns has made that announcement, and we want to see more.
All right.
Yeah, we have met with them, and we'll continue to meet with them. There are a lot of ideas that have been circulating about how we can better address this issue, and we will be convening meetings with other activists around the idea and hope to be able to present some concrete ideas on a state level, local level, however we can affect the issue.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us today. Eric Richardson is the Lane County NAACP president. It was his sister, his nephew, involved in that case with the police back on July 16th. Brian Michaels is his attorney. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right. Take care. Thanks.